بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنما التوبة على الله للذين يعملون السوء بجهالة ثم يتوبون من قريب فأولئك يتوب الله عليهم وكان الله عليما حكيما. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders and friends, it is an accepted fact without fear of contradiction that no sane human exerts himself without a greater purpose. A young man going to the gym daily wants to shed few kilos. People go on hunger strike, they want to be heard. A person decides to cycle the world, not to cycle the world, he wants to raise awareness for some campaign. And the list continues. As Muslims, you and I embark on this great month of Ramadan, we exert ourselves, we observe the fast, we stand in the nocturnal prayer. What is the greater reason? Have we ever reflected? Have we ever given it thought? Or is it just the rituals? Are we stagnating at the level of rituals? Or are we propelling to a greater purpose? Well, the aim that the believer should have by exerting himself in this sacred month, blessed and momentous month, is two amongst others. A, by the end of this month, I need to secure and procure the forgiveness and the pardon of Allah. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended the pulpit and he said, Ameen. And he ascended again and he said, Ameen. And he ascended for the third time. The Sahaba microscopically observed every practice of his. Sa'idta thalatan fa'ammanta thalata. We observed a peculiar practice, unknown to you, O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We heard no dialogue, we heard no speech, yet we heard you saying Ameen. Would you unpack, would you dissect, would you put flesh to the theory for us, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Jibreel came to me and he had a word with me. And he cursed few people. And I considered the curse of Jibreel to be valid, so I endorsed it with my Ameen. Now you need to know, before I elaborate, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not a man who cursed. إِنِّي لَمْ أُبْعَثْ لَعَانَا وَإِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ رَحْمَةً. My Allah hasn't taught me to curse. Ya Rasulallah, إِنَّ دَوْسًا عَصَتْ وَأَبَتْ فَدْعُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِمْ. O Prophet of Allah, this nation of those, they obstinate, they arrogant, they rebellious. Would you curse them once and just annihilate their entire future? He said, Allahumma ahdi dawsan wa'ati bihim. Allah, guide them and bring them to us quickly. The questioner persists. O Prophet of Allah, I said, hurl a curse. Allahumma ahdi dawsan wa'ati bihim. O Allah, guide them and bring them to us. O Prophet of Allah, curse. He said, my Allah didn't teach me how to curse. And then he went on to say, اللهم إني بشر أغضب كما يغضبون فأي عبد آذيته أو لعنته أو شتمته. Allah, I'm a human, I'm a mortal, and people provoke you and people incite you, and sometimes you react to situations, and sometimes inadvertently you say things you don't mean. If humanly, unintentionally, inadvertently I offended someone or I hurt someone, then make that a source of his forgiveness, an atonement, an expiation for his wrong. So one extreme of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that he never ever cursed any person. He never ever. In fact, if he said it unintentionally, he beseeched and implored Allah to make it an atonement. Yet on the other hand, he sanctions the curse of Jibreel with his Ameen, which is a loud reflection of the gravity of the offense of the perpetrator. This is a serious crime. That Jibreel, I'm on board with you. I'm together with you. You say you cursing, I'm saying Ameen. So who's it, O Prophet of Allah? Who's the victim of the curse of Jibreel endorsed by the Ameen of the paragon of Allah's creation? May Allah protect us. بَعُدَ مَنْ أَدْرَكَ رَمَضَانْ فَلَمْ يُغْفَرْ لَهُ. Woe be to him. Woe be to him who seen Ramadan in its entirety and couldn't exploit the moments adequately to secure his forgiveness. He seen Ramadan come and go, but forgiveness didn't feature. I said recently in a talk in South Africa that while we exploit the moments of suhoor and iftar for the acceptance of dua, be sure to focus on the dua of forgiveness, because that is our overwhelming need. I'm not saying omit your other requests to Allah, surely let it feature, but our overwhelming need at the time of suhoor and iftar is, oh my Lord, please forgive me. So the narration features in the books of hadith, the Ansar wanted a river and a canal to be dug to facilitate irrigation for their farms, etc. And they had some difficulty in this regard. So they said, we'll take it to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will supplicate Allah and Allah will make it easy for us. So as they come close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stands up. Marhaban bil Ansar. Marhaban bil Ansar. لا تسألون اليوم شيئا إلا أعطيتكموه ولا أسأل الله لكم شيئا إلا أعطانيه. Oh my Ansar, I'm elated to see you. I'm just ecstatic. This is so amazing. Please come, please come. Please come, oh my Ansar. Please, please. I love your presence. Whatever you ask me, consider it approved. And whatever I request Allah on your behalf, consider it done. Now when they were given the green light that regardless of our request, it's approved. Look at the thinking. Look at the mind of Sahaba. فَقَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ اِغْتَنِمُوهَا وَسَلُوهُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ. You know, we say program change, subject to change without prior notice. So they came with an agenda to request that a canal be dug to facilitate irrigation of their farming. When the Prophet said, your du'as are accepted, whatever you ask, they had a quick word. Let's leave the canal and the river, we can live without it. Let's ask him to make dua, Allah forgives us. This is the moment we guaranteed what we want. Let's explore it. So if it's us, you say, no, that's your opinion, brother. You can go with your forgiveness. Me, I need my canal. There was unity. There was conformity. There was consensus. Okay, come, my sahaba, what's it? Oh, Prophet of Allah, we're just asking you, pray to Allah that he must forgive us. That's it. Allahumma ghfir lil ansar. It's in Hayat al-Sahaba in the first volume towards the concluding chapter. Allahumma ghfir lil ansar. Wali ajwaj al ansar. Wali abna'i al ansar. Wali abna'i abna'i al ansar. Wali jihrani al ansar. Allah, these ansar have gathered, converged, and please pardon them, Allah. Allah, their spouses and partners, forgive them. Allah, their children they have left behind, forgive them. And their grandchildren to come, forgive them also, Allah. That is the greatest desire. We need to exploit every moment that Allah forgives us. Salma ibn Dinar, better known as Abu Hazim, a sage of the age, a noble individual. Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik, the king of the time, the ruler of the time, approaches him. It's a long dialogue just to support the point that I'm driving home. So the king comes to the sage and he says, Irfa' ilayna hajatak naqdiha laka mahma kana. Make a request and we'll fulfill it. But these were great scholars. These were people who truly identified and carried the legacy of knowledge. May Allah make us amongst them. So he wasn't moved, he wasn't impressed. He said, I mean what I say. Make a request and it's done. I've got the muscle, I've got the clout, I've got the economic strength. I can flex my muscle and I can deliver my brother. No movements. For the third time he said, I'm telling you, people dying to make a request, I'm offering it to you. He said, حَاجَّتِي أَن تُنْقِذَنِي مِنَ النَّارِ وَتُدْخِلَنِي الْجَنَّةِ. My request is, please secure my entry into paradise and make sure that I don't go to hell. He said, ذَلِكَ لَيْسَ مِنْ شَأْنِي. Sorry, that's outside my jurisdiction. So Abu Hazim said, sorry, I don't have another request. مَالِي مِنْ حَاجَّةٍ سِوَاهَا. مَالِي مِنْ حَاجَّةٍ. I don't have another request, what can I do? For them, it was the be-all. For us, it doesn't feature as a remote aspiration in our du'as. For them, that was it. That signaled it. That's all I need. I need that all. Nothing else. Aisha radiallahu anha told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make du'a for me. It was a given when you requested du'a. It was the du'a of forgiveness. Allahumma ghfir li Aishata ma taqaddama min dambiha wa ma ta'akharat wa ma a'lanat wa ma asarrat. Oh Allah, forgive every sin of Aisha radiallahu anha. She's ecstatic, she's elated, she's jubilant. Oh Aisha, why are you so jubilant? She said, why should I not be overwhelmed when the Prophet of Allah has made dua for my forgiveness? Salim, the grandson of Umar radiallahu anhu, he is performing tawaf, a circuit around Al-Bayt al-Atiq, the ancient house, the sacred house of Allah. The ruler of the time seizes the moment and inches forward. And he says, Salni Haja, please, it would be my honor if I can deliver some needs of yours. Tell it to me. He said, Inni astahi min Allah an as'ala ghayrahu amana baytihi. I feel offended and violated and insulted by that request. I'm at the house of Allah and I must present my request to a mortal when I stand by the house of Allah. Really, you've insulted me. You've insulted me. And I don't take that in a good spirit. That's in bad taste. You need to be sensitive. So he says, okay, brother, my apologies. As he exits from the haram, so he tags behind him and he says, now we are outside the haram. Now can I ask you, please, make a request. So Salim said, Min hawa'ij al-dunya am min hawa'ij al-akhirah? Are you referring to fulfilling a material need or a spiritual need? He said, I've never been asked that question. Whenever it is me, it's synonymous to material needs. He said, no, obviously, I'm referring to material. Spiritual, I will be asking you. Look at the profound answer of this friend of Allah. He said, مَا سَأَلْتُ الدُّنْيَا مِمَّنْ يَمْلِكُهَا فَكَيْفَ أَسْأَلُهَا مِمَّنْ لَا يَمْلِكُهَا. I've never asked this world from the being who owns it. Why should I ask it from those who don't even own it? When I make dua, I've got greater things to ask Allah. You say, you met this celebrity. You say, yeah, what you did? You say, I took an autograph. No, man, you could have done more, man. You know what? If you met with him in 5 minutes, you could have done this. You could have got this commitment from him, this undertaking. And in 5 minutes, you died with one autograph. You settled for something very small, man. You could get much more. That's a moment of a lifetime. When I'm making dua with my line, it's accepted. I'm so engrossed and occupied and immersed in my spiritual needs, I forget that I have material needs. Time moves on. The Prophet ﷺ said to Umar radiallahu anhu, the narration is very famous and it also ties up with the sentiments of Jibreel cursing the second person, and that is the one who does not secure the forgiveness of Allah through serving his parents. But to tie it up and again to drive the same point that I am harping on, the Messenger ﷺ said to Sayyidina Umar that a man by the name of Uwais will come, and we know the narration. He comes from the Murad tribe and the Qarn branch, and he suffered leprosy and Allah cured him, but the size of one dirham remains on his body. And in Ibn Asakir, in the 9th volume, I read this amazing thing. Perhaps you have not come across this here, and I've read it myself. That Allah had cured him with the exception of a portion of leprosy on his body. And this was not coincidental, but this was by his own request to Allah. Oh Allah, don't cure me in totality, but leave a trace of my previous condition so I can look at it and be grateful to you for the rest of my life. You can see it in Ibn Asakir in the 9th volume. Allahumma daqfi jasadi, leave behind so much. Today the doctor said the cancer is cleared up, but if 5 years is an incubation period, you cannot rejoice, you cannot sigh with relief. You're still anxious, you're still uneasy, you don't know when it can resurface, it's in incubation, it can come up again. Oh Allah, leave a trace of that condition. Now, the Prophet said, Umar, when you meet this man, then request him to make dua. Allama Nawawi, the great Shafi'i scholar and the commentator of Muslim Sharif, has written two things among others under this hadith. A, he writes that from this we learn that the one who serves his mother, his du'as are accepted. The one who serves his mother, his du'as are accepted. He has a mother, كان بها بر, he is kind to his mother. لو حلف على الله لأبر. If he takes an oath or he makes a request, Allah will honor it because of his kindness to his mother. Haritha ibn Nu'man, the Prophet ﷺ said, I seen myself in Jannah, فَسَمِعْتُ قَارِئًا يَقْرَى. And I heard a reciter reciting in Jannah. So I asked the Malaika, who is reciting Quran here? He said, this is your companion Haritha reading in Medina, but we have amplified his recital and it beams in Medina. He said, it is going out on national radio. This is going out on live streaming. Haritha is reading Medina, it's live streaming in Jannah. I'm paraphrasing obviously, but to contextualize it. Why? Because of his kindness to his mom. كَذَلِكَ الْبِرْ وَكَانَ أَبَرَّ النَّاسِ بِأُمِّهِ. So Allah compensated him for the loyalty and the dutiful nature to his mom that he read Quran here and it was being in Medina, in Jannah. So anyway, that's the first thing we done. The second thing, يُسْتَحَبُّ طَلَبُ الدُّعَى وَإِنْ كَانَ الطَّالِبُ أَفْضَلُ. Allama Nawawi, we say, we also learn from this, it is encouraged, it is preferable, it is meritorious, if you request du'as from the pious, even if the person requesting is more senior. There can be no two opinions that Umar radiallahu anhu is far greater than Uwais Qarni. It just doesn't feature the comparison, simply because Uwais Qarni features as the noblest of Tabi'een, and Umar radiallahu anhu ranks right on top in the galaxy of Sahaba. Yet the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, request du'as from him. Now, the point to reflect, what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam say? He said, when you meet him, فَإِنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ أَن يَسْتَغْفِرَ لَكَ فَفْعَلِ. Umar, if you meet him in a passing in 2 minutes, sit him down and ask him quickly, wait, I just need one request, make dua Allah forgives Umar. Make dua Allah forgives Umar, that's all I need from you. So Umar anxious, not like he lacked forgiveness, not like he was deprived of forgiveness, not like he was devoid of forgiveness, he had it all going each year. Is there a delegation from Yemen? Yes. Is there a gentleman like this profile? Yeah. Brother, can you come down? Please sit down. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had conveyed his greeting that he had told me to request you to make dua. And Uwais Qarni then lifts his hands modestly and makes dua for the forgiveness of Umar. Which one of us can claim independence of that? That is our greatest need. That is our overwhelming need. That is our need by far the most. And then he said, أَكْتُبُ لَكَ إِلَىٰ عَامِرِهَا. Can I write to the governor to give you some recognition? لَأَنْ أَكُونَ فِي غَبَرَاءِ النَّاسِ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ. I love to be unknown and pass my time. It gives me a greater joy. Anyway, he returned. The next year, delegation comes from Yemen. Umar radiallahu anhu said, did you meet so-and-so by this prophet? Yeah, تَرَكْتُهُ رَتَّ الْبَيْتِ قَلِيلَ الْمَتَاءِ. Is living hand-to-mouth, breaking even, living just in a simple hut. My brother, that's not a regular man, that's not an average man, that is Uwais Qarni. I was told to request him to make du'as. When you go back, be sure to follow up with him. So this man returns from Hajj and he says, Uwais, forgive me, we didn't value you in our community. We didn't realize. As soon as he said that, Uwais Qarni said, looks like you went for Hajj and you met Umar. He's like, yeah. He said, okay, make dua for me. He said, I'll make dua for him. But that was the beauty of this man. And you can read, I read extensively on his life. As long as you didn't identify him, you met him daily. And the day you recognized how pious he was, that was your last meeting with him. Because he camouflaged himself. He camouflaged. إِذَا جَلَسْتَ لِلنَّاسِ فَكُنْ وَاعِبًا لِنَفْسِكَ وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكَ إِجْتِمَاعُهُمْ عَلَيْكَ فَإِنَّهُمْ يُرَاقِبُونَ ظَاهِرَكَ وَاللَّهُ رَقِيبٌ عَلَى بَاطِنِكَ. Anyway, there's an incident to mention here again to tie up with the same thing. The priority of forgiveness. The second dua that Jibreel had cursed was the person who found his parents. And again, I'm saying that is the priority, that you found your parents and you didn't serve them and earn Jannah. So there is a narration in the books of history about Malik bin Dinar that once he came for Hajj. And when he came for Hajj, then he looked at the scores and the multitudes of people that had converged and congregated. Now look at the thinking of the pious. What consumes their thinking and what consumes our thinking? We'll do calculations, we'll look at architecture, we'll consider how much tons of food, how much water, and our mind runs in different ways altogether. When the Prophet ﷺ spoke about the fitna of Dajjal, and then he will make his presence on this earth, يَوْمٌ كَسَنَةٍ وَيَوْمٌ كَشَهْرٍ وَيَوْمٌ كَالْجُمْعَةٍ. One day would be like a year long, and one day would be a month long, and one day would be a week long. And then the Sahaba said, okay, the day that will be a year long, are we observing 5 prayers or prayers equivalent to a year? Where the thinking of the Sahaba, and he said, you'll have to do your calculations, and you'll have to pray proportionate to a year. فَقْدُرُوا لَهُ قَدْرًا. You'll have to do your calculations accordingly. But that speaks about what featured the most in the lives of Sahaba, where their focus was. So he said, I had come to Hajj, and I had seen the scores and the multitudes of people that had converged and congregated. So it crossed my heart
مَنِ الْمَقْبُولُ مِنْهُمْ وَمَنِ الْمَرْدُودُ مِنْهُمْ.
Ya Allah, so many have gathered. I just wonder in these millions, how many have you accepted and how many have you rejected? Anyway, the day passed and I went to sleep. And in the dream, I was told, Malik bin Dirham, قَدْ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ الصَّغِيرَ وَالْكَبِيرَ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى إِلَّا رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا. Allah has pardoned all of them, but there's exception of one person, he has not been forgiven. So I got up with a fright. And the pious, they immediately took it to themselves. You look at the life of the pious, whenever criticism came, they applied it to themselves. Whenever praise came, they deflected it. Ours is the direct opposite. When criticism comes, brother is talking to you, not to me. And when they praise him, you heard what he was saying about me? No, he was saying about me. Sahaba deflected praise. Today, we let you. وَيُحِبُّونَ أَن يُحْمَدُوا بِمَا لَمْ يَفْعَلُوا. What a profound. I was giving a talk the other day and I said, if you study the terminology of Quran, it is so mind-boggling. It is so profound. It is prolific. It is inconceivable. The Quran uses a phrase in a context, but its approach is so universal, it can fit 1,000 scenarios. It can fit 1,000 scenarios. So the Quran speaks of the slave who's a burden to his master. Now look at the phrase the Quran uses. أَيْنَمَا يُوَجِّهُ لَا يَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ. أَيْنَمَا يُوَجِّهُ لَا يَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ. Wherever you direct him, that man will never display good. How many people we know are like that? Whatever you tell him, he'll spoil something that can't be spoiled. How many people in life, but how could you do that? It's all in order. Click. What happened? The Quran said, wherever you direct him, he will not deliver. That's his nature. أَيْنَمَا يُوَجِّهُ لَا يَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ. So here the Quran uses the phrase, those people who love to be acknowledged for accolades they have not achieved. The whole world is desperate. I say this often, the whole world is gripped in poverty. Half in poverty for food, the other half in poverty for fame. And the poverty of fame is more challenging than the poverty of food. Let me tell you that. It's a separate topic and it needs time. I had given a dedicated lecture some time ago about this year. The crave for fame and recognition, that hunger is worse and will cause havoc and mayhem and crisis. And that person will cause much more chaos in the world than the one who's hungry for food. The one who's hungry for food, he might offend one, two, three. We're not condoning, we're not justifying. But the man who's hungry for power, and again look at the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, مَا ذِئْبَانِ جَائِعَانِ أُرْسِلَا فِي غَنَمٍ بِأَفْصَلَ لَهَا مِنْ حِرْسِ الْمَرْءِ. Two hungry wolves, just dissect and focus and give me your undivided attention. Two hungry wolves, if they are released in a flock of sheep, they will not cause so much harm to that flock as much as the crave of recognition and the crave of wealth will destroy the iman of an individual. Now the scholars tell us, Hakimul Ummah has written extensively, but just two, three things to put your thinking cap on. The Prophet ﷺ didn't say fame will cause that harm to you, and he didn't say wealth will cause it. He said the crave of fame. The crave. He didn't say wealth, the crave of wealth. Then he didn't say two wolves, he said two hungry wolves. You know, Sayyidina Ali said a hungry man is a fear a hungry man because he loses his fear a noble man when he's hungry, he loses his nobility. He's a noble man as long as he said he ate it, and when he's hungry, even his dimag goes. They say a lot of people are online but their brains are offline. They're online but their brains are offline. Min hirsil mar'i, min hirs. And Imam Ghazali has written, the ego hankers more for the fame than wealth. Why? Because in life, fame can buy you more than wealth. A lot of times, money won't buy you, but you flash your card and you immediately, diplomat pass, you right through. So your ego knows, I can use this and get in much more. And the scholars of Suluk tell us, those who study the spirituality and fleshing out, the last malady to leave the heart of a Salik, a person who chooses the path of spirituality,
If his portion is the cave of pain, may Allah flush that out of our systems, and may Allah give us humility. May Allah give us humility. Today people say, Shaykh, make dua, Allah must keep us humble. That's a claim that you are humble. What can you say, make dua, Allah keep us humble? May Allah make us humble. In English they say humility is very strange. Just when you claim it, you lost it. Just when you claim it, oh, I'm saying this with humility, or there I lost my respect for you. Because as soon as you claim it, you lost it. You do it between you and Allah and it's done. Anyway, coming back, just to expedite. So, what did they do? They deflected praise and they took criticism. Someone said in the English language, if you are too big to be criticized, then you're too small to be praised. If you are too big to be criticized, no, he's senior, he's above. You cannot tell him, then you're too small to be praised. So I said, Ya Allah, this must be me. That night I went to sleep, and with panic and heaviness on my heart, that perhaps I had committed a wrong. And in that I was told in a dream that you are not the exception. You are not the exception. Allah has accepted your Hajj and others. There is another person, he belongs to the Khurasan tribe, and this is his name, and this is his profile, and this is his identity. I got up in the morning, I was kind of relieved that it wasn't me, but I was equally sad that this man was profiled. And then you get the vision, we go for Hajj, we go for Umrah, we marvel, reflect at everything. But do we ever think, Ya Allah, so many have gathered here, how many people's Hajj is accepted, what would be the motivation, what would be the drawback, what would be the setback, what have they converged here for? So finally I asked people, I'm looking for a man like this from this tribe. They said, that's Al-Anrajulin. You ask him regarding a man, you're not going to find a more noble individual than him. So I said, Arshiduni ilayhi, take me to him. So they take me to this place. فَإِذَا هُوَ قَائِمٌ خَلْفَ جِدَارٍ يُصَلِّ. He's standing behind a wall and he's offering prayer. So he looks at me, he says, who's this? I said, Malik bin Dinar. Malik bin Dinar, what brings you here? He said, I don't have good news for you, brother. I don't have good news, but I felt it's my moral obligation that I bounce this off you. So he said, sit down, what's it all about? He said, I hope I can say this without being condescending to you. I had this dream in which I was told one person's Hajj has been rejected. And then I was alarmed, perhaps it's me. And subsequently I was told it's not me, but I was given a profile, and supposedly the profile matches your personality. So he breaks down into tears. And he said, this is not the first time this has been seen. In fact, I congratulate you, because for the last 40 years, pious people have been seeing this. So you're a pious man of the time. But unfortunately, 40 years this dream has been seen, year in, year out. And I've been told the same thing. So Malik bin Dinar said, I comforted him, and I said, but why is this? He said, it was the last night of Sha'ban. I was a young man in my youth, and in my insanity, and doing silly things in my life. And I was high, I wasn't sober. In English they say, the devil has no problems with our intentions as long as it's for tomorrow. I'll change tomorrow, I'll change when I go for Hajj. Today we'll have woman and wine, and tomorrow we'll have sermon and soda water. Today we'll have woman and wine, and tomorrow we'll have sermon and soda water. Delay, procrastinate. But yuridu al-insanu liyafjura amama. So I returned home and I was drunk, I wasn't sober. My mom said to me, هذه آخر ليلة من شعبان وأول ليلة من رمضان يصبح الناس صواما وتصبح السكران أما تستحي من الله. Oh my son, this is the last night of Sha'ban, the first day of Ramadan. Even the most sinful people have reformed and rehabilitated themselves, and you are drunk. Don't you fear Allah? In a fit of rage, in a fit of anger, because I was high and I wasn't focused, I slapped my mum, and my mum fell, and she injured and bruised herself. Trust me, when consciousness hit me and sanity came in, and I realized, I once went to a rehab where I had to speak, and I was speaking to youngsters as tender as 10 and adults as old as 60. And as I was talking, I was seeing them crying. And some of them were crying non-stop because now sober and regret has hit in. And from the time I realized my mistake, I have been begging Allah, 40 years have left, I still haven't had confirmation. Malik bin Dinar said, I will pray specially to Allah to forgive you. So what was the second thing that had happened here on this member of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam?
Woe be to the one who sinned Ramadan and he was not forgiven. I said, no sane human exerts himself without a greater purpose. Our purpose for coming into Ramadan is we need to leave it by the confirmation that hopefully Allah has forgiven us. And the same sentiments apply with exploiting the opportunity of serving our parents. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those fortunate individuals that we exploit both. They say when it comes to investing, diversify. Maybe this will, you know, your fund will mature. Maybe your fund won't mature here. Don't put all your eggs in a common basket. Diversify. Exploit on both fronts. Ideally, both your funds mature. And you win as a believer in Ramadan. And you win as a dutiful son. And you appear to Allah with the glad tidings of forgiveness on both fronts. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sallam.